This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In these teachings, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. If you know someone who needs some powerful Bible-based encouragement, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called How We're Getting Through.
Now, we grieve, Christians, believers, people who know Jesus, grieve just like everybody else, in that we sorrow when we lose loved ones. I told you, I've cried every single day since my son died. But I'm not grieving for him. I'm grieving for me. I miss him. I'm not grieving for him. He's in a far better place. No more sorrow, no more torture, no more problems in his life. He's where we're meant to be forever. We're not made to stay on this earth forever. We're made to be in heaven forever. You were made to last forever. God has long-range plans for you. And so when we grieve for ourselves, but we grieve with hope because we know the end of the story. Now, let me tell you, I know the difference that makes, because as a pastor, I've done the funeral of people who didn't have any hope. And I have looked into the faces and into the eyes of people who don't have a relationship with Christ, who don't have the hope of heaven, who don't know what we know, what we've learned, and the fear and the panic and the hopelessness in the eyes of people who don't have that hope is crushing. It's just crushing. I have seen it in their faces, and it is not something you want. But we grieve with hope. Now, to live with hope in a life of pain, and by the way, I'm sorry to say this to you, you're going to have pain the rest of your life. But in that pain, you can have hope. How? You're going to have to get a bigger perspective. You're going to have a longer view. You're going to have to refocus your attention. You're going to have to stop thinking about just here and now, and you're going to have to start living in light of eternity. This is not all there is. And if you just look at today and what's happening right now, you're going to be hopeless. But if you can see in light of eternity, you realize that this life is preparation for the next. You get at the most 100 years on this planet, but you get trillions and trillions of years in eternity. This is simply the get ready stage for the real show. Here's what the Bible says. There on your outline, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles we see now are temporary. Thank God they're only temporary. I mean, even if I had a problem my entire life, it's only temporary, because it's not going to last an eternity. For the problems, the troubles we see now are only temporary, but the joys to come will last forever. You know, a lot of people, when they have a loved one die, they have a celebration of their life at a funeral, and they remember all the happy times. That's a good thing. In fact, I would encourage you to do that. Remember all the happy times of your loved ones. But that's not my comfort. It is not my comfort, because Matthew's life was not a happy life. In many ways, it was a tragic life. He was tortured. He had a tender heart, but he had a tortured mind. Matthew had an ability to walk into a room at a party and instantly know who was in the most pain. And he would make a beeline for that person and spend the entire evening with them, comforting, consoling, and encouraging. He would have made an incredible counselor. He had a very, very tender heart, but he had a tortured mind. And so as a father, my comfort doesn't come from thinking about the happy moments of Matthew's life. There were some, but not that many. My comfort comes not from thinking about happy moments on earth, but holy moments in heaven he's having now. And that is a comfort to me. You see, friends, the biggest epidemic in our society, in our world today, is hopelessness. It's an epidemic proportion, poor persons. It's the biggest problem on the planet. The biggest problem on the planet is not poverty. We're trying to do something about that with the peace plan. The biggest problem on the planet is not disease. We're trying to do something about that with the peace plan. The biggest problem on the planet is not illiteracy or ignorance and lack of education. We're trying to do something about that. The biggest problem on our planet is hopelessness. People are living and dying without any hope. And we are in a battle for hopelessness, against hopelessness. Now, when something happens and you have a major loss in your life, you tend to think, this is the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world. It's an end of the moment. And in your life, you're going to have many ends of the moment. It's not the end of the world. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't care how, well, I do care, but I don't know how important, it doesn't matter how deep you think your problem is right now, the one you're going through right now, it isn't the end of the world. Why? Because when the real end of the world comes, Jesus shows up. Then you know it's the end of the world. But one day, Jesus is going to settle the score, even the odds, pay off the debts, and heal the hurts. And the Bible says what it's going to be like in heaven when it's all over here on earth. The last chapter in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 4, says this. Then God, this is in the future, then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is in heaven. Wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. No more death. And there will be no more mourning. And there will be no more crying. And there will be no more pain. For the old order of things will pass away. I'm looking forward to that day. But we're not there yet. And what do we do now in this little parenthesis between the sweet by and by and the nasty now and now? Where everything is broken and the life doesn't make sense and it's an incredible battle. What do we do during this middle time? We live in peace, even when life doesn't make sense. Because we know that God is with us and God loves us and he'll never stop loving us and he'll never forget us. And we live with joy even when everything on this planet is broken, because we know that God is good and God has a good plan and God has a plan that is greater than the problem you're going through. His purpose is greater than your problem. And we live with hope. Why? We live with hope even when we know life's a battle and everything's hard and there's a lot of conflict. But we live with hope because we know there's more to the story than just here and now. Now, in closing, to those of you who haven't yet stepped across the line spiritually. You know about God, but you don't know him personally. You've heard about Jesus, but you don't know him personally. You don't have a friendship with him. You can begin tonight by just praying the prayer we're going to pray together in a minute. You say, well, Jesus wouldn't want me. Oh, really? I recently wrote down who Jesus came for. Jesus came for the chewed up and the pushed around, the cracked up and the put down, the crossed off and the ripped off, the crying out and the run down. Jesus came for the dropped out and the run over, the edged out and the shrugged off, the shut in, the flamed out, the shut out, the smashed up. Jesus came for the have-nots and the squeezed outs and the held back and the stacked against. Jesus came for the hungover and the strung out and the knocked down and the kicked around and the torn up and thrown away, the left out, loaded down, turned off, and used up. Jesus came for the looked over, the lorded over, the walked over, and the washed out, for the led astray, the laid off, the leaned on, the let down. He came away, came for the messed up, the mixed up, the passed over, the picked on, the piled on, the pinned down. Jesus came for the wiped out and the written off. Jesus came for Matthew. Jesus came for me. Jesus came for you. God has never made a person he doesn't love. God has never made a person he doesn't have a purpose for. God has never made a person that he doesn't want to know him. And Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from establishing that relationship because he hates you. Many of you, and I mean many of you, are struggling with your thoughts. And actually, your thoughts torture you. And you don't tell anybody about it, but it bothers you. And your thoughts torture you with depression, or your thoughts torture you with anxiety, or your thoughts torture you with self-loathing or shame. Some of you are tortured with blame and resentment, and some of you are tortured with fear and worry, and some of you are tortured with compulsions and attractions and addictions, and some of you are tortured with anger, and some of you just feel out of place. I'm the odd person out. I don't fit. I'm not in the in crowd. I'm just on the edge. I just feel like the square in a round world. And you have these thoughts and you can't get them out of your mind, and you can't make your mind mind. Let me just say this to you, somebody who loves you. You're not going crazy, but you do need help with your thought life. Second thing I want to say to you is this: you're not alone. With 3,000 people in this room here tonight, if this is average, on average in America, 600 of you are struggling with some kind of mental illness. 600. 60 million Americans struggle with some kind of mental illness, 400 million worldwide. That would be larger than the United States if it were a nation. And I want to just say this. You may have a chemical imbalance in your body that messes with your mind, but your chemistry is not your character. And your illness is not your identity. And God's grace doesn't just cover our genetics, our genes and genetics. It covers our guilt and everything else. And God's mercy doesn't just cover the things we do wrong. It covers our DNA. And it is not a sin to be sick. And there's no shame in taking meds. There's no shame in seeing a psychiatrist. If my back is broken, I go to a back doctor. If my heart doesn't work right, I go to a heart doctor. If my kidney stops working, I go to a kidney doctor. If my brain isn't functioning right, I go to a brain doctor. There's no shame in that. Why is it that any other organ in your body cannot work and there's no stigma attached to it? If my spleen stops working, there's no shame. If my pancreas stops working, if I have diabetes, there's no shame, there's no stigma on that. But if my brain stops working, why am I supposed to keep quiet and not talk about it and be ashamed of it? That's just wrong. 10 years ago, God called Kay and then called me and then called many of you at Saddleback to remove the stigma of HIV and AIDS. It's not a sin to be sick. And now, 10 years later, God is calling us as a church to remove the stigma of mental illness. Now, everything we have done and will do in this church is motivated by love for God and by love for the people that he created. Everything we do is to say this to the world: you matter to God. And there is hope. And we are in this battle against hopelessness. And I just need to know one thing. Are you with me? As if I had to ask. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, I look out on these people that I love so much, and I thank you for their love for you, their love for each other, their love for people who are hurting. And I pray that this series will help us be prepared to stand on the solid rock of truth so that we're not blown away when the tough times come into our lives. I pray it will prepare them to not just stand firm, but to help others. Now you pray. In your mind, say, Dear God, I want to know you better. Just say that. Dear God, I want to know you better. I want to become a man or woman of faith. I want to fulfill the purpose that you made me for. Dear God, help me to remember that I'm never really alone, that you are always with me, you're always thinking about me, and that you will always love me, and you will never abandon me. Help me to build my life on those truths. Help me to remember that you are a good God, that you have a good plan for my life, and that plan is to give me a future and a hope. And God, even when life is a battle and when everything is broken, help me to remember that this is not the end of the story, that we win in the end, that ultimately there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more crying, no more death. Say this in your heart, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, I give you every area of my life. I open up myself to you. Make yourself real to me. I want to learn to love you more. I want to learn to trust you. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. If you really need some powerful encouragement, then let me tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. This full-color vegan leather study tool will help you take your quiet time to a new level. You can go through it at your own pace. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God so that He can renew your spirit and your sense of hope. The Journey Toward Hope guided experience will help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and will teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. It's perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Just go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to introduce you to David, who, despite living with depression, is learning to take his attention off himself and put it on others. David wrote me this. Hey, Pastor Rick, I've been listening to your sermons via podcast almost daily for 3 years now. I can't begin to tell you the growth that I've had in my spiritual life by you choosing a life of service. I hope my story will be an encouragement to you and to others. I've struggled for years through depression. Yesterday, I was feeling down after recently experiencing depression again and going through medication changes. Instead of choosing my go-to late-night TV show to drown out my thoughts, I made a decision
to turn to God by watching your interview, Lessons from Pastor Rick's Life. Your words made me realize how self-centered my prayers and life have been for quite some time. I've been wasting the hurt of depression on myself by focusing on all my prayers and my energy on me. I confess this, and I ask for forgiveness and the wisdom to recognize who needs help around me and also having the courage to act. The next morning, I woke up to a text from an old friend who I had left behind in a haze of depression 10 years ago. Now, that text was confrontational, and like so many of people who are suffering from depression, they know it's easy to avoid these kind of things. Then everything I had prayed the night before hit me. I told him everything, and I asked for forgiveness, and it was given. And he explained that he, too, suffers from depression and had thought about suicide. He thought he was all alone and no one cared. What started out as an angry text turned into a great hour-long conversation. During our goodbyes, he expressed how talking with him meant the world. I even cried. Who thought a depressed guy who felt no emotion for so long could cry tears of joy? Not me. Rick, your words about courage and never wasting a hurt helped me stand up to what I felt was a giant problem and turn it into an answered prayer. I won't ever waste this hurt again, David. Well, David, I'm thrilled to hear how God is helping you use your hurt to help others. That's the way God intends for it to be. God is so faithful to take our pain and make something useful from it. So keep your eyes focused on the Lord and keep your eyes focused on the needs of other people. God bless you, David.
Pastor Rick loves to get your notes. Please feel free to write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.